Sanaa Cunningham was only 6 years old when she started to show signs that something was wrong. It would seem that almost out of nowhere, she started to forget how to do everyday normal tasks, like opening and closing doors, how to clean herself, and where to go to the bathroom. This is your host, Red Cole, and you are listening to Monsters and Mothers.
As little girls and boys, we look up at the glowing angel that gave us life with love and adoration. But for too many, this is not a happy reality. For many, the woman holding us is a true monster. These are their nightmares. Delve deep as we unravel the turbulent bonds between mother and child. You are listening to Monsters and Mothers.
Lisa Cunningham grew up in a riverside town in South Australia. Her parents separated when she was 10. Her mother was an extreme alcoholic, leaving her to raise her sister Katie, who was born with Down syndrome. Lisa would also lose her brother to a drug overdose in her adolescence. Not easy for any child to have to go through. During her 20s, Lisa would move away from Australia and head to the U.S., where she began a relationship with a U.S. airman and had two children with him in Arizona. The marriage ended after 7 years when he could not remain faithful to Lisa, and they filed for divorce. Unfortunately, Lisa couldn't go back to Australia. She had to stay in Arizona due to her custody agreement with the father. It was this time that Lisa and Jermaine reconnected. They had met during the separation process of Lisa's previous marriage when she was working at a prison. In 2011, they reconnected on Facebook through a mutual friend and met up for coffee. Through interviews, we see that their relationship was like their oldest daughter stated. It was like they were two separate souls bringing two broken families together to create a new and better family. Now, bringing the two families together, three and three became six. Then having two children of their own, they became a family of eight. Lisa quit her job and became a full-time stay-at-home mom with her six children. From the outside looking in, it could be difficult, no matter which way you look at it, to take care of six kids. It was no wonder their lives unfolded the way it did. Sanaa was Jermaine's six-year-old daughter, whom he had with Sylvia Norwood in 2009. The couple had a falling out, and in the divorce, Jermaine would get full custody of both his kids he fathered with Sylvia. It was at this age that Sanaa stopped behaving like the bright little girl they all knew and began to exhibit behavior that was almost animalistic. Sanaa was diagnosed with acute schizophrenia in July of 2016, as well as having other mental health problems. Her parents, Jermaine and Lisa, described it as her being unable to do things that she once could before, like opening and closing doors, cleaning herself, and using the bathroom. They said Sanaa would eat her doll's hair and start scratching at her eyes and her body. They were deeply concerned when Sanaa would start talking to herself, and she told them she heard voices urging her to kill. There would be three visits from CPS to the house. The first time, Lisa would claim that CPS was called on her because her neighbor was mad at her for not helping her get food stamps that required Lisa to lie for her. That would be a very different story than the neighbors, who claimed it was due to the fact they saw Sanaa in nothing but her diaper, raking the yard and picking up dog feces with her bare hands for four long hours in the hot Arizona heat. Police followed up at the Cunningham home. However, after their investigation into the complaints, they were satisfied that the house was safe and that the children were all well cared for. The second visit was prompted by Jermaine's mother. After hearing what was going on with Sanaa, the grandmother Googled Sanaa's symptoms and was worried that the symptoms suggested that Sanaa might be being sexually abused. Jermaine told her he didn't believe that's what was happening and ignored her, leaving the grandmother with no choice but to call CPS on her own son. After investigating this second report to CPS, the police deemed that the suspicions were unfounded and that the case be dropped. It wasn't good enough for the grandmother, who decided to locate Sylvia, Sanaa's biological mother, who at the time had no contact with her daughter, but believed maybe it was Jermaine who was actually the one sexually abusing their daughter. So, a few nights before Christmas, she went to the home herself to try to see Sanaa. This prompted Jermaine to file a restraining order on Sanaa's biological mother. Sylvia would later tell her attorney that Jermaine got special treatment from the police because he was an officer. However, the report she made did get some attention. The courts ordered the Cunninghams to put Sanaa on proper medication, or they would remove all children from the home. In the court order, it stated that Sanaa was to go on Risperdal, a heavy antipsychotic that has been known to affect the respiratory and circulatory functions of a patient's body. Jermaine and Lisa followed the instructions on the label precisely. Give one pill a day, up to three, as needed. Don't discontinue without consulting a physician. But now, looking at the vision of horror in the playpen, they wondered if the drug was doing more harm than good. They called Sanaa's doctor, whose staff advised the parents to bring her in on Monday. The next day, she turned catatonic. Her body was cold to the touch. In the 911 call, Lisa Cunningham told dispatchers that she couldn't get a reading from the thermometer. After bringing Sanaa to the hospital, it would be only 6 hours before she passed away. Now, as an outsider looking in, you would think, how awful and how unfortunate. They've been through so much with raising such a big family to lose their child, and for some time the world was supportive to the new grieving parents. That was all about to change. An investigation was only beginning behind the scenes. Now, the preferential treatment of Jermaine, being an ex-cop, would be the eyes that look the other way in this story. Before Sanaa would pass away, CPS had once again turned up on their doorstep, but they ignored what they saw on account of him being a former officer of the law. The state of Arizona stood by and watched as the little girl's health declined, and chose to honor an officer's words than what their eyes could see. On this occasion, the house was filthy, and they could clearly see restraints around the house, and that Sanaa, a 7-year-old, was sleeping in a crib. 10 months after Sanaa's death, investigators believed they had enough evidence of abuse and neglect that the Cunningham couple was responsible for her death. But it wasn't the words from their interviews or the family members' testimony that would paint the future for Jermaine and Lisa Cunningham. It would be the texts that transpired between them during this period that would seal their fate. This is just one of the few texts sent by Lisa Cunningham to Jermaine. Sanaa pissed in the garage. Of course, it's dark, so I stepped in it. So fucking nasty. Fuck it. I will give her a nasty-ass pamper. She can sleep in it and get hosed off when I get up. In a separate text from Lisa, she stated, obviously, Sanaa had it in her mind that getting out of the laundry room meant access to any food she wanted to eat. I warned her 5 times. At 11:30, I had enough. So, she is in the garage zip-tied to the water container. I had only one arm, but she broke the tie and got in the fridge 5 minutes later. To which Jermaine responded, I bet she didn't expect that. Lisa responded, I spread eagle zip-tied her. It probably won't hold her. Yep, I told her I'm not washing your crap or cleaning it up. As long as she does those things, she sleeps on the floor in her underwear. Jermaine responded, easier to clean. Lisa said, yep, she wants to be warm and cozy? Then it's simple. Use the toilet. Jermaine responds with saying, right. In another text, Lisa wrote, I have her standing with her hands behind her back, wrapped in a headband. She's still trying to act a fool. Jermaine said, I don't want her to sleep with her hands behind her back. For some people can die like that if they have certain health issues or are on drugs, just not overnight. Lisa responded, she's not sleeping, she's standing, and I'm not dealing with her again tonight. It's midnight. You want to change it up, you can do whatever when you get here. I'm not having her groaning and screaming, keeping everyone up, playing her bullshit. Sanaa doesn't have certain drug issues or health issues that can kill her if she's restrained. She will be alive when you get here. I just got her put there so the kids can sleep. You can sort it out when you get home. I will not tolerate her behaving like an animal to get what she wants. It would be these texts that would leave a pit in stomachs of Americans as they read the morning paper. Now suddenly this loving couple that was receiving mounds of support were being hauled to jail. They were now seen as the true monsters in this story. How could someone who called themselves a mother do something like this to an innocent child? No matter what health condition they have, children are innocent and deserve love and human decency. Lisa Cunningham was scheduled to go to court in July 2020. The only reason that this case is being tried for death row is due to the texts found to be sent by Lisa. If found guilty, she will be the only Australian woman to be tried for this crime in the United States, a crime that could see her on death row. Lisa Cunningham, who wants to guard over women convicts, now serves life in prison. Ironic, isn't it? In a telephone interview, Lisa was asked how she was. "How are you holding up in there?" Meaning, of course, prison. Lisa responded, "It's not been a good experience. It's really not the place to be. I'm housed with people that have similar crimes to me, and I'll tell you, this is probably the least judgmental environment I've ever been in." Despite what the autopsy report reads, it is unclear if Sanaa died from acute asphyxiation, cardiac arrest, bruising caused by medication, sepsis from an ulcer, or from acute bronchitis. Sanaa's biological mother hired a lawyer, who is also a bishop, former Marine, former police officer, and federal investigator, as her lawyer, who made a statement saying, "You could have had this child put in a medical facility, where she could be examined all day. But instead, you had her defecate on herself, eat dog hair, eat food with maggots on it out of a trash can, straitjacketed and tied to a water container? And you tell me you did all you could do. I do not buy it. There is something else you could have done to save this child's life." Sylvia's attorney makes a very valid point here. Yes, there is evidence of medical mistreatment. However, it doesn't take a rocket scientist for a parent to realize when their child is not receiving proper medical treatment from their doctors. As a parent, you have a duty to uphold your child's health. And after hearing Lisa herself admit that Sanaa had become so ill she was causing harm to herself and animals, they should have brought her to a medical facility to be properly held and examined for better treatment. On the other hand, it seems that CPS also failed the child. They were called multiple times and deemed that the reports were unfounded. However, the evidence presented shows something different. To be blunt, it wasn't the parents or the system that failed Sanaa. It is clear that everyone failed her. Between the doctors, the parents, and the system presented to care for this child, she never stood a chance. Judgment Day is coming for these two child abusers. Only then will justice be served. How do you feel this situation should have been handled? Do you believe Lisa Cunningham and Jermaine Cunningham deserve life in prison or death row? Thank you for listening to Monsters and Mothers. Please join our Facebook group to discuss this case. I'm your host, Red Cole.
Thank you for listening to Monsters and Mothers. Subscribe to hear more chilling accounts of mothers who commit unspeakable horrors.